Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We just sang a hymn about the God of Abram. We heard in the first lesson this evening about God's call to Abram when he was 75 years old, 25 years before Isaac, his son, was born, 24 years before God established the covenant with him, the testament, the sign of which was circumcision. We talked about circumcision on New Year's Day, and we made the connection between it and holy baptism. The sign of circumcision was a sacrament for the Old Testament. The sacrament of holy baptism belongs to the New Testament, but of course we all belong to Abraham, all of us who have the same faith of Abraham, faith in the true God who would send his son, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, Jesus the Christ. And when it comes to Old Testament circumcision, people who rely on human reason have often wondered, how can the cutting away of a little skin make someone into a child of God and an heir of eternal life? How can anything at all that's done to the body affect the soul and one's relationship with God? The same question is asked about the water of holy baptism. God promises, with the application of a little water in his name, some tremendous things. You remember what they were from baptism second last week. What benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. But some ask, how can water do such great things? And we have our answer in baptism third in the catechism. Clearly, it is not the water that does it, but the Word of God that is in and with the water, and the faith that trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism, a water of life, rich in grace, and a washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says to Titus in chapter 3, through the washing and of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs of eternal life according to hope. This is most certainly true. Water does a pretty good job of cleansing the body. By itself, it does nothing for the soul or for one's relationship with God. But God has taken that common cleanser of the body and has attached his word to it, his command and his promise to use it in his name as a tool and instrument of applying all the benefits of Christ, all the things that he won for us on the cross, to the individual who is baptized. The Word of God that is in and with the water is like a tool or an instrument, like the very hand of God holding out all the benefits Christ won for us to the one who is baptized. Meanwhile, the faith that trusts in this Word of God in the water is also like a tool or instrument, like the hand of one who is being baptized, receiving and accepting the benefits of Christ being held out by the hand of God. And what is it that prompts that hand to be lifted up toward God to receive, but the very kindness and goodness of God as he hands down and reaches out with the help that the sinner needs, holding out the blood of Christ and the promise of forgiveness. And so it's the gospel itself, the word in the water, that creates the faith that's needed for baptism. For baptism to be effective in working the forgiveness of sins, delivering from death and the devil, and giving eternal salvation to all who believe this. Without the word of God, of course, it's just water. If I take water from anywhere, whether it's from the tap or from the baptismal font, and I take it and I go and wash my hands with it or wash a car with it, that's no baptism. The water itself isn't sacred. There's no such thing as holy water. It has no power. But with the word of God, when the water is applied by the minister to the one who comes to him to be baptized, when the baptizer calls upon God in prayer and speaks the word of God and applies the water in the name of God for the purpose of washing the person's sins away and bringing him or her into God's family, then it is a baptism, a water of life, rich in grace, and a washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit. The word that Luther uses for washing is the same as the German word for bath. And we sang the word bath in that first hymn, Luther's baptismal hymn, this evening. Baptism is a spiritual bath, a bath in which the Holy Spirit does the washing, like a mother bathing her little child. A bath in which the Holy Spirit does the regenerating. Regeneration is just a fancy word for rebirth. Baptism is the washing of rebirth, the washing that gives rebirth or new birth. The washing of water and the Spirit by which a person who was born naturally outside of God's kingdom is born again into it. So every baptized believer is a born-again Christian, in spite of the misuse of that term by those who deny the fact that baptism actually does something. And just as a child doesn't do the work of being born, but the mother does all the work, so we aren't the ones who do the work of baptism or who give birth to ourselves by some sort of decision for Christ. No, God is the true baptizer. He does the work. The Holy Spirit gives birth to us, and now we are God's children. In the Catechism's citation of Titus chapter 3, it mentions other important benefits of baptism connected with the forgiveness of sins, that we might be justified by His grace. So justification is tied to baptism. And that makes sense because justification really is the forgiving of sins. Baptism is where God justifies a poor sinner. It's where and how God forgives sins. So again, pretending that God has already justified all the people in the world apart from baptism seriously undermines the scriptural teaching about what baptism is and does. And Paul went on in Titus chapter 3, that we might become heirs of eternal life according to hope. Well, of course, baptism makes us heirs, because baptism makes us God's children, born of God. And as a good and faithful Father in heaven, He won't leave His children penniless orphans. He has made us heirs of His kingdom, heirs of all that is His, heirs of eternal life. That is the hope of the baptized, And it is a sure hope because it has God's own promise behind it. And so we say, together with Luther and together with the Apostle Paul, this is most certainly true. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.